He said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
And this morning I am full of vim and vigor.
How come?
Because I had a great workout, and my workouts have been going sensational. Yeah. I'm training for the big O.
That's right, and I actually trained with you the other day. We did a chest, and you know what? It took 3 days for it to kick in, but I'll tell you, my chest is really sore still.
Well, after that interview with Dr. Darren Willoughby, which I thought was fantastic, mm-hmm. and in relation to data that I've been studying, and just for a change, I'm increasing the volume of sets. I've reduced the amount of weight, because you know I typically train quite heavy, you know,
yes.
with deadlifting and
oh, really?
Bench squats.
Haven't noticed.
No, but it gives you that thickness in the mm-hmm. physique that you need.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm going to increase the numbers of sets. Like
we did 10 sets,
we did 10 sets of
wow.
inclines. And what I do is I bring the weight up slowly. It's like a pyramid. It's like an old-fashioned
yes.
Arnold style, a little bit different. But you move up the ladder and get to your work set, and then you do 3s, 6s, 9s, 12s, 18s, 20s. And the soreness
uh-huh.
in the pecs and
oh,
the muscle
yeah.
that you train, now, that's one way to gauge the effects of a good workout, isn't
yeah.
it?
I like feeling a little. I mean, I do like feeling a little bit. I don't want to be so crippled up I can't move, but like when it touches, feels like a bruise. But I like feeling like I trained. I like that feeling.
You know what I like to do? I like to bring a new person in the gym and train them so hard that
yeah.
they can't move for a week.
Oh, that's not the right thing to do. Let's turn somebody off of training, shall we?
But I am going to be...
B1.
In Greece
yep.
in November. And you know what I'm really looking forward to?
What?
I mean, we're going to Thessaloniki, which is in the state or province of Macedonia
mm-hmm.
for the 10th annual Mr. Olympia, the natural INBA.
Mm-hmm.
Fully drug tested and looking forward to that. Being in Greece will be awesome.
Yes, it certainly will.
But I picture myself in Athens by the Parthenon. The Acropolis, you know, that.
Yes,
that,
I know.
We've both been there, haven't
yes,
we?
Yes, not together.
And I'm
going to
get some great shots with that in the background. And that's what I envision in my mind.
Can you see it already?
Having that when I'm 50
oh, yeah.
as a keepsake.
Mm-hmm.
That's going beside my 40-year-old frame that I had when
oh,
I
yeah.
competed last time.
Yeah, 40 and 45 and 50. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but to me, the 45 is, you know, come see, come saw. But
yeah.
it's that decade deal.
Do you think you'll compete at 62?
I don't know. Who knows?
I
Why
guess,
not do
I
it?
I guess I'm looking ahead.
Why not do it every decade until you die?
Idea.
What about 100? Imagine I'll be this skeletal-like, emaciated 100-year-old guy.
Can I choreograph your routine then?
Maybe cloning technology, biotechnology.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have massive muscles at the age of 100. So this is SNU, in case you didn't know. And here it comes, my dear. Yep. What's cooking?
What's cooking? Okay, so I want to talk about... coffee, a strong cup of dark roasted organic coffee. Mm-mm-mm. And there's nothing better than the smell of a fresh cup of brewed coffee. Wouldn't you agree?
It tends to
first thing in the morning.
Sensory organs.
Oh, yummy. And you and I are not heavy coffee drinkers by no means, but we do enjoy one or two cups of coffee in the morning. And I suggest that you buy the highest quality of whole bean coffee that you can find, and you grind it yourself as you use it. We usually keep our beans in the freezer, don't we? And then we grind them as we need them on a fine grind.
Well, if you grind flour, which has oils, the oils become subject to rancidity. And if you take that fresh ground flour and put it in the freezer in an airtight container, the rancidity factor is reduced significantly. So it works the same thing with coffee. And as we were discussing earlier today,
yeah.
buying this modernized pre-ground coffee that people buy at, you know, the corner convenience stores or the truck stops is
yeah.
the absolute worst kind of coffee to drink.
Right. So you don't want to buy pre-ground
coffee
as it goes rancid, because many of the negative effects of coffee are attributed to its pesticides contents. And I've been told at these trade shows that we go to that coffee has the highest pesticides and herbicides and gunk and junk on it than any other produce.
And do you know why that is, essentially?
Why?
Because it comes from South America and Africa and places in the world where the laws that we have here in Canada and in New Zealand are not activated. They don't care, man. They're just into moving this stuff to salvage profit. So they allow the farmers and growers to use just about anything on their food.
So,
but then you know what's worse? We bring it in.
Yes, I know.
So who's more at fault? The guys that are growing it with the pesticides or the people that are bringing it in and selling it to the consumers?
Right. So it's a really good idea to only buy really great, high-quality dark roast. You don't need to buy the flavors, not decaffeinated. Just buy the organic whole bean coffee and make sure that if you do go out, I mean, it doesn't mean that you can never have a cup of regular coffee in a restaurant or something like that. But, you know, you don't need to drink a lot of coffee all day
long. Also, I think that if you're into sterility and you want an effective method of birth control, drink a lot of coffee with pesticides in it. Because you will no longer be able to impregnate your wife and she will no longer be able to receive your conceptive contribution.
Wow. So the fact that coffee beans may contain oils and acids that become rancid when exposed to light and oxygen. So if they're pre-ground, they will become rancid because of the oil content in the coffee. And coffee is one of the most popular beverages in the world. And it's consumed about in 1/3 of the Earth's population.
It's everywhere.
And the average person drinking 2 cups per day uses approximately 10 pounds per year. And another little interesting piece of trivia that I am getting from Module 8 from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor that you wrote. Our good friend Sam Gracie lists that coffee is an alkalizing substance, but only if it is non-decaffeinated and drunk black following a meal. So if you're drinking, you think you're doing yourself a favor drinking decaffeinated coffee on an empty stomach.
Sorry, Charlie.
You're
no
not
tuna.
Doing yourself a favor. So when it's consumed on an empty stomach, it acidifies the system by stimulating serum chloride. So
the key is, and this is why we have our morning wake-up call to reality, hydrate the body with water. Put some water in the tank. 2, follow through with a protein shake that, if you make it right, is actually alkaline forming. And then have your coffee. And if you turn it around the other way.
Exactly.
And you do that every day, you're actually acidifying and increasing diuresis more so. So you actually become more dehydrated than if you have the shake first, followed by the coffee. And then let's get into detail on the black coffee versus how everybody else tends to drink.
Well, that's my next little thing that I was going to talk about. Is I quit drinking coffee with milk in it when I was about 42. So that's about six, seven years ago.
Yeah, and let's talk about why you quit drinking it.
Because I was competing in a competition.
It wasn't because you didn't like it.
No, I loved it. I couldn't even imagine. You kept saying to me, don't put milk in your coffee. And I'd say, oh, I can't even imagine not. And I only drank 1 or 2 cups a day. Like, I'm not a heavy coffee drinker. And I have small cups, but it's quite strong. And you said, okay, now it's time, Tracy, to get off the milk. And I said, well, I'm not a milk drinker. You said, well, what about the milk that you put in your coffee? And I said, oh, that's nothing. Well, I bought a quart of milk. I can't remember what kind. It was some organic milk in this glass bottle. I saw the milk go down in the glass bottle. And it's funny because I never bought it in a glass bottle before. But after you'd said that, then I saw the milk going down in the bottle. And I was drinking 4 of those a month. So about a gallon a month I was drinking of coffee. And I'm going...
Times 12 months.
I was drinking a gallon of milk a month. And that... To me, I looked at you and I
said... Fatty, 2x4.
I said to you, I am a milk drinker. I was blown away. I had no idea that just putting a little bit of milk in my coffee...
And you were in competition and you were trying to get lean. And you were lean and you were looking great, but you wanted to get down.
Yeah.
And the closer you get to where you want to be, the more the struggle, the more you have to give up, right? Remember the rule in fat reduction? First on is the last to come off.
Yeah. And another thing is that people don't realize that the people say, oh, well, it's just skim milk. Well, the less fat, the more sugar, right?
Yes.
In milk?
Yes.
So you're getting lots of sugar and then you're adding sugar. Like, this is what I say to people. They say, well, I don't eat sugar. I said, okay, so let's take a look at how many cups of coffee. Let's say you have 4 cups of coffee a day. You put 2 teaspoons of sugar in. You put skim milk in. And then that's over 30 days a month. You're drinking a pound of sugar just in coffee. Just in the coffee.
And I can't believe how many people don't get how detrimental sucrose, white table sugar, cane sugar, beet sugar is. They still don't get it. oh my God, we have to watch out for the artificial sweeteners. Yeah. And then they're just dumping sugar and everything, eating pies and cakes, cookies, sweets. They don't understand that the primary cause of diabetes on this planet is the consumption of refined sucrose coupled with trans fats and refined flour.
Yep. And another beauty that we're all going to just love if you are a coffee drinker is Dr. Michael Colgan in his new book, Save Your Brain, suggests that drinking 1 to 3 cups of organic black coffee, what's no sweetener, no dairy, will cut the risks of Parkinson's disease. Well, I'm all over that.
Yes, and he references that, and it's based on some really solid data. And everybody, get this book. Because if you have a brain, it's worthwhile saving. And what Michael is really cool about, and one of his quotes that I really like, is the worst thing in life is to actually outlive your intelligence, is to live long enough so that you're alive, but your brain doesn't work.
That's what happened to my mother. I saw it happen to my mother. It was just absolutely...
It must be horrible.
It really was. It was, you know...
You know, because I remember you saying to me that she didn't even know who you were.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
So how do we save the brain? And he's saying that one of the ways, you know what I love about Michael too, in this new book, which is absolutely a must read for anyone out there that's in the field of nutrition and who's concerned about saving their own brain, is that Parkinsonism is not a disease. He says the whole thing is a scam and that it's basically just one of many kinds of damaged brain symptomologies, right? It's this brain is an organ like your heart. And your liver, and your lungs, and your kidneys. And they're all susceptible to damage. And so as we age, your brain is going to be susceptible to damage. And what else does he say in his book about
coffee? Okay, I'm just going to read it. It says, drink coffee. And it says, there is one extra wrinkle. For about 20 years now, we have been collating reports that coffee inhibits Parkinson's. We were interested because the caffeine in coffee belongs to a chemical group called xanthines. One important xanthine in the human brain is adenosine, which we have discussed in relation to adenosine triphosphate, the energy molecule.
ATP, baby.
That's right. Caffeine inhibits some adenosine receptors, causing dopamine levels to increase. So get on it. It's okay to drink coffee, but it's got to be black, organic, fresh ground, whole bean coffee. Grind it exactly when you need it. Don't grind it and then leave it for a day or two.
Where do you find caffeine in our common food supply?
You can find it in tea. You can find it in green tea, iced tea. You can find it in cola drinks, cocoa.
How about a chocolate bar?
Yeah.
Remember the other day we tried, just for an experiment, some sucrose dairy-free chocolate.
Dark 70% chocolate. Dark chocolate.
It's actually a cocoa bar because chocolate is a name reserved for sugar, dairy, and cocoa.
Oh, mama. So, if you like dark chocolate, it was yummy.
It was sweetened with maltitol, which is a very low glycemic index and is actually quite safe. Some people, it doesn't work too well in the gut, but for most people, maltitol will be a safe alternative to sucrose. Mm-hmm. And what a whack of energy. We took an espresso with a bite of this very dense, high-quality cocoa bar, like a chocolate bar. But it was dairy-free and unbelievable. Yeah. But you know what? It is an acidic thing.
Yes.
So you do have to watch.
Yes, exactly.
I mean I'm not telling everyone to go out there and eat a pound of chocolate a day.
No. These are treats, though, right? These are little treats.
And you've got some of this pure cocoa pellets. It looks like bird food or whatever that they sell in the health food stores.
Yeah.
And
it's
no sweetener
at all,
right? Just raw chocolate. Yeah. Now, that's probably the best way to get it in. Now, if you mix that with some honey or...
So you can make some nice with organic raisins, some of the goji berries. And it's really quite a nice little snack. I just take a few little mouthfuls of it every now and then.
Yes.
Okay,
One more thing about what Colgan found out as well, how much coffee should someone drink to enhance performance? And in Caffeine Update, Colgan recommended taking 5 milligrams per kilogram of body weight of caffeine. So you lose the effect if you drink it all the time.
Yes.
So if you want to use caffeine in coffee, a natural way, to boost performance for an event, stop drinking coffee for a month and then... Prior to the event, to massive stimulation, multiply your body weight in kilograms by 5, and that's the amount. Let's say I'm 100 kilos of lean mass, or my total body weight is 104, times 5. I'm talking 500 or 600 milligrams. That's 5 or 6 espressos.
Ooh, right? Before an event?
Before an event, about an hour.
Holy
lots of water to
doodles.
Back it up.
And you can run a marathon.
Now, if you're going to do a powerlifting event,
yeah.
It's not. It doesn't work as well as for the endurance events
endurance,
as it does
okay.
the power. But man, I used to take ephedrine with caffeine, and not to lose body fat, to increase my power in the gym. And it is unbelievable. Another thing about caffeine is it reduces the degradation of ephedrine inside the blood. So when you take the caffeine, like remember all these fat-burning pills, the thermogenics yep. with caffeine and ephedrine were legal?
Mm-hmm.
Why was the caffeine in there? Because caffeine affects adenosine receptor sites, which prevents the degradation of ephedrine in the liver. And so ephedrine would become prolonged and you'd get more bang for your buck.
Ah, very interesting.
So I think the coffee bean itself is okay.
But and there's careful, lots people. Of different kinds of coffee beans on the market. There's the fair trade. There's the shade growing, organic. And it's got to say certified organic on there, too. So, you know, do check it out.
Yes. And so as a summation, grind it fresh. Make your coffee yourself. Use a filter because when you filter the fresh grounds, it removes the cholesterol-raising compounds, cafestrol and coweol. Which, when eliminated, minimizes some other aspects of caffeine or coffee that can wreak havoc on your metabolism. Remember, this stuff is not for everybody.
Yes.
But for an endomorph, like most ectomorphs I know, thin, lean people who are wired for sound mm-hmm. anyway, they don't often drink a lot of coffee. They need to sedate and calm. But for us who are the endos of the world, we need the stimulation. Coffee is okay. Another rule of thumb, dear, and I'll finish off with this. Don't drink coffee or take a stimulant unless you're going to train. Training has got to be a component of your life. And what elevates the blood pressure, people, what causes the damage to the heart, the kidney, liver, is when you drink coffee and take stimulants and do no physical exercise afterwards. That is the secret to understanding the use of amphetamines and stimulants. When you take a stimulant, you better move your ass.
That's right. Not just sit there on a computer
or lay there and watch TV. Because how's your body dealing with the stimulation?
No.
Okay, you're getting to your mind, but what about your muscles, your heart, your organs? That is where the damage comes.
What about giving a lecture? You're still doing physical activity.
Absolutely. A lecture would be good because you're moving your arms, you're walking around.
Or a meeting, some
There's
kind of meeting where you're moving.
Kind of
yeah, yeah, exactly. You have to be exerting
it.
Something. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So
great.
What a great concept.
I really would like a cup of coffee right now, actually. Hmm.
Okay, dear. So let's move on because we're running out of time. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Ms. Giselle Haftel. And Giselle spoke on eating disorders and the influence of corporate training seminars and how productivity goes up when the staff is eating and exercising regularly. Hello. Plus, their attitudes are much more pleasant, and whose wouldn't be? Another thing that she talked about was eating disorders are not uncommon with athletes. Now, who would have thought that athletes have eating disorders?
I would have thought that.
You know, I remember I used to take a lot of ballet classes, and they used to say that these ballet dancers, all they would do was eat chocolate all the time. They wouldn't eat anything else but chocolate because they had to get weight down and they wanted the energy. So, you know, you'd think that I was totally dismayed by the whole thing. I used to think athletes were the healthiest people in the world. Another thing that she talked about, which I won't get into too much, but she mentioned that if a daughter comes from a father who's an alcoholic, she may become bulimic, that there's something in the gene.
Well, I think that like modern medicine and allopathic medicine always blames everything on genes. Genetic, right? Well, of course it's genetic because we have a genome that expresses our DNA blueprint, and everything has a genetic, you know, connection. However, what about the influence of the environment, nutrition, sunshine, lifestyle?
But it's interesting how the daughter...
How that affects the outcome of the genome as it's expressed.
But it's interesting how she wouldn't become an alcoholic, but this girl would become bulimic.
It's a similar kind of psychological disorder.
It's amazing, isn't
it? Look at the psychosis potential that we can all fall into, right? But anyway, that was a great interview.
It really sure was.
She knows her stuff. And what I liked about Giselle is that she lives the life. She's nice and lean. She's a personal trainer.
And there you go. And she was a gymnast as well.
Hello.
So she's got firsthand knowledge.
Who are you going to take advice from? Someone that is fit and it trains and has an athletic background and understands the nutrition science, or someone that's just got expertise in one but not the other? Today, people, we need both. Okay, so who is our next month's special guest?
Next month's special guest is Dr. Elvis Alley. Now, I hope I pronounced this right, Elvis.
And what a nice guy he is.
Well, you met him at one of the trade shows.
I've known
him
for
years. And
you
said, Tracy, get him on. He's got to get on SNU.
He's an author. He's full of energy. He's nice and lean. And
he's a homeopathic doctor and also a naturopathic doctor. He has specializes in Chinese medicine and sports medicine and nutrition. And he's completed his studies on body-mind medicine at Harvard Medical School. And he's a member of the Postgraduate Association at Harvard. And he's currently involved in seminars, quality control, research, and development of nutritional products at Swiss Natural Sources.
So lucky them to have him on board.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's always friendly. He always comes up to me, shakes my hand, gives me a big smile, and that is the kind of spirit that I like to see in
people. Well,
that's
what sports nutrition is all about.
Hello.
Is conduct.
Conduct, character of excellence. Yep. Speaking of which, we have a new award at our seminar coming up, the CHI Character of Excellence Award.
Oh, wow.
And who other? Well, actually, it's a secret. We're not going to tell anybody.
You can't tell. He can't see.
But we're going to present the award at each lecture.
Yeah, yeah.
And what a privilege and what an honor.
Well, the first one you did, because we just did our first Health is Wealth lecture series, was on our first book, Recipe for Health. And who did you award that award to, Corey?
Well, the one and only Mrs. Vivian Lee Hawley, my mom.
Yeah, I think she was.
But you know what?
Surprised.
That wasn't so much the special award that we have as a heart's desire in mind to acknowledge my mom and get the ball rolling. But I really enjoyed that. And I've got that on film,
yes.
And it will be on the new members link.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, what an exciting thing that we've got going now. So no more SNU to be delivered in hard copy. Now you go to CoreyHawley.com, click members link, and now you have access to every edition of SNU. You can download that and produce a disc yourself. You can transfer it into your iPod. You can stream it across and listen right there on your computer. There's no limit now. And then we've got all these great videos.
Right. Which we're slowly putting on.
Well, they take time.
Yeah, they do take a lot of time.
It takes like an hour to produce 1 minute of a video.
Yes, I know.
And even more than that, like 3 hours sometimes.
Yes,
so,
I know.
But that is going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to do Corey and Tracy About Town. We're going to do some physical activity.
Training.
We're going to do exercise.
Over time, it'll eventually build up.
Know?
We'll have literally hundreds of videos.
The word of the day.
All the new editions of SNU.
Yeah.
So that is where you should send your friends to get educated, because they get that immediate online access.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
and
stuff.
It's a lot of fun for us to make as well. It's just that we're moving forward in our life as well. And there's different, I mean, in the technology today, I mean, this is really the way of the world.
Well, you get immediate access. There's no more delay in the mail.
I mean, look what's going on with
We send these things out to like South Africa and parts of South America. And you know what? It doesn't get there because the mail is so corrupted in the government systems. So now we have no limitation. Anywhere on the planet, you just get access to internet. On the beach, man, when you're sipping a martini and watching the waves, listening to SNU, grooving away. Yeah. How good is that?
Yeah. I fought it for many years because I only learned how to use a computer about when I was 45. And I thought, but now I'm realizing there's a lot of people that don't use a computer. But, you know, you got to get with the times, man. You got to get with the times. It's the way of the world.
One of the best things you could possibly do is get an iPod, transfer this stuff, and listen to it when you're walking, on the treadmill, when you're cycling, when you're moving around. That's how you educate your brain
today.
Exactly.
But the thing is, too, is that you can get someone to help you, teach you how to do this. And it only takes like probably an hour to learn how to do it.
And by the way, not just an iPod, which, you know, I think is a patented name of the Mac portable MP3 player, but any portable MP3 player, any one of them would work. So you transfer that data to your portable MP3 player, and now you've got some gold and some silver in your hand.
Yep.
Turn that on and let the sun shine.
That's right.
Okay,
well, that's
dear.
That's great. So we look forward to Dr. Elvis Alley's interview.
Dr. Elvis Alley. So let's get right to it. What is your hot topic?
You're going to love this. My hot topic is about nothingness. I have nothing to talk about.
What do you mean nothingness?
I've got nothing to talk about. Don't you know the show on Seinfeld where they were going to do a show. It's a show about nothing. Well, you know, the funniest thing is I was like all last month, I was just a worry wart. For some strange reason, I'd wake up at night and my mind was going a bleeding mile a minute. And just, I don't know, just thinking about my daughter Ruby, thinking about the Q report, thinking about different quotes and thinking about what I was going to cook. Because this year, I've got a lot of challenges happening for me this year with Dr. Colgan's Power Camp.
You're going to be cooking
I'm
there?
I'm going to be cooking for
teaching
him.
Teaching a class?
And he's planning on having, he says he's going to get like 100 people. Well, I, Ding Dong here, volunteered and I thought he'd having 20 people. And then I'm going to help with a lecture called Rhythm for Life. I'm back at teaching dancing again. So I've got this group of people that want to open up a dance studio. So I'm teaching them a curriculum, my own curriculum. And so I've got so many things on the go right now. And my mind's going a mile a minute that I finally, this week, I've stopped. All of a sudden, I can't think anymore. And then you said, okay, so what's your hot topic, Tracy? When we were writing it out, we'd usually do it a couple of days ahead. And I said, you know what? I have nothing to talk about.
Well, let me throw something exhausted. At you then. Let's talk a little bit about rhythm. What is rhythm and how do you spell it?
Well, this is what I'm going through right now is I've got this called, which Dr. Colgan says to me, oh, this is great, Tracy. I think it'd be wonderful seeing how I understand about athletes. And I cook athletically. He says, what about a Rhythm for Life class? So I said, great, Rhythm for the number four, life. And so it's about timing, tempo, balance, and poise. And rhythm is, what I said about rhythm is as hard to do as it is to spell. And rhythm is very hard. I always put rhyme. So I have to really make sure. Corey says to me, make sure you know how to spell it before
you
go
there. Okay, so before you spell it, I want everyone else listening to this right now, in your mind, without looking it up, without looking at a dictionary, spell rhythm, okay? You got 10 seconds. Now, Tracy, how do you spell rhythm?
R-H-Y-T-H-M.
Good. So how many out there actually spelled it correctly?
It's pretty tricky.
And this was my concept that I came up in the kitchen the other day. I said, explaining what rhythm is as difficult as it is to spell.
Folks, I just want you to know that any good ideas, they're Corey's, okay? Just wanted you to know that.
I want that to be on my tombstone and on the little vase that you store my ashes in.
This is something that we fight about all
the
time.
When those ashes get sprinkled over Hawaii when I'm dead and gone, I want it to land on the surface of Mauna Loa and spell that out, that it was all my idea.
Yeah, it was all mine. That's a good idea. It was all your, because, you know, I do come up with a bright, brilliant thought every now and then. Just wanted you to know that. So, yes, so we've got timing, tempo, balance, and poise. And these are things that we are going to talk about in this lecture, and eventually I can maybe write a book about it. Hey,
that
it's all about
a
book.
That is going to be a great lecture.
Yeah.
And Colgan is hip on this.
Yes.
He loves the idea.
Yeah.
And you know what? Nobody in the world that we know of, that Colgan knows of, is focusing on rhythm training for athletes.
But you know what's very interesting is I'm talking to a lot of athletes now, and I say to them, and I talk to a few music teachers as well, and I said, what does rhythm mean to you? So for me, what rhythm means is the synergy of everything working together when you're dancing. So I can see people who look absolutely, they're gorgeous. They're dancing on time to music. They're on time to music. They have balance. They've got poise. But there's just something about them. I'm looking at them and I'm saying, they don't have any rhythm. They're missing something. So it's the synergy of everything working together. Because all sport has a rhythm to it.
All life has a rhythm.
Yes, even
everything,
the heartbeat has a rhythm.
And that's what that music teacher said. She said that rhythm is the pulse that you feel?
Yes. So to me, it's something that comes from within. Now, I've got a few months to go before I actually do this lecture, so I'm going to have it down pat. Because to me, that's really the greatest part, is doing the research on anything that I work on. So I'm really looking forward to it.
That's going to be a great topic. And I really think that, like, Colgan and you are going to actually write a book about this. He's turned on to it. But this lecture concept, taking this to the next level with the book, is going to become something that no one else has ever done yet.
Well, thanks a lot.
You are the one to do
put
it.
Put the pressure on.
Remember,
God, no wonder I haven't slept.
It was my idea. Just remember that.
You know, jeepers, no wonder I can't sleep at night putting a pressure on me like that. Thanks
hey,
a lot.
Positive
Corey.
Pressure.
I know, it
keeps
is,
you
it is
lean
positive pressure.
And hungry, my dear.
Oh, no wonder I've been getting really cut and ripped these days. Is that what it is?
Hey, you're like a dog, right?
Yes.
We
I
agree
guess.
On that,
yes,
that you are
do.
A dog.
I am a dog. Yeah.
Okay, astrologically speaking, in the Chinese vernacular. Yeah. And like any good dog, you need to be obedient. So listen to your master.
Oh, jeez.
And on that final comment, let us have your final word.
My final word is by E.F. Schumacher. Any intelligent fool can make things bigger, more complex, and more violent. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction.